Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN SC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Ali Moreno and Stevie Nicol. Later on the programme, we're reflecting on Liverpool's 3-1 victory away against Benfica, but we kick things off in Manchester. As City beat Atletico Madrid by 1-0, the only goal of the game coming in the 70th minute. Phil Foden, the substitute, making the difference. Are you looking at the shots on target and the expected goals by Atleti, Ali?
Yeah, 0.00. Yeah, never seen that before.
Yeah, that pretty much sums it up, doesn't it? Let's welcome in, shall we, Nader Manu and Craig Burley. Craig, what a treat. Your first day back and you get to watch that.
I'm more interested in having a good look at you. What the hell's happened?
I've lost my contact lenses. I'm wearing glasses. Everything will be resolved. Well, fear not.
I'm away for a month and all of a sudden Elvis Costello's hosting the show. what the hell? You've walked in a shop and come out with them and thought they look all right. I mean, oh, holy smokes. That's awful.
I didn't know anyone was going to see them, did I?
What do you mean?
What do you mean? You're on a telly. Who's not going to see
them? No, but I've got guns. Anyway, what's wrong with your microphone? Why haven't you sorted that out?
Oh, here we go.
I've been away. anyway, what microphone? The dogs have hit them. Those glasses are horrible. I hope those contacts turn. Those glasses are almost as horrible as Atleti's performance.
But oh, come on, they're not that bad.
Well, at least that wasn't a surprise. That's a shock to me, having to sit in this chair and have it. And look at that. I mean, look at
right,
them.
Get on with it. Get on with it. Atleti, well, I mean, Manchester City.
I didn't think City were as crisp in their passing as they normally are, and I know it's not easy when you effectively have two banks of five against you, which what Atleti did. But I still thought they were, you know, they weren't their usual self. It's not easy to break these teams down, but the passing was off and balls going out and crosses overhead. I think the frustration crept in. I think obviously the better side won in the end through the changes and the great ball from Phil Foden. But yeah, I think, you know, obviously, good result for City. Could have been better had they played better. But not dead and buried, because what we saw at the end of the game, Dan, I think is what we'll see at the start of the game in the Wanda. It is a bit of play acting, is a bit of trying to rile City players up, try to leave a foot in, try and get them down to 10 men. Do anything you can to sort of put them off. And I don't think Atleti will change too much in the second leg. It's not like they're going to all of a sudden become this open attack inside. They're going to sit in, make it horrible again, and see what they can get in terms of the bits and pieces, the crumbs. But yeah, it's frustrating to see a quarter final of a Champions League with a team as talented as that, been as negative as that. But it's not a surprise.
No, it's not a surprise, Nathan. But just from a football fan's perspective, it was really hard to. That first half was terrible to watch. From a defensive point of view, though, as someone who played as a centre-back, can you admire what Atleti did?
I think admire is a bit strong. I get it. And they're just as comfortable doing that as, say, City are doing what they do. And, you know, it reminded me of something. I don't know if Stevie ever did this when he was a coach, but there were times when you go attack versus defence, and the whole thing was designed for the attackers. And for defenders, they might give you a point if you, like, run the ball over the halfway line. You think, oh, we've done something, we've achieved something. And that's what the sense was almost in that first half, because they defended really well. You know, they were trying to create 2v1s on the outside against City and never let them run behind them. But then they just give it to a ball carrier and just take it upfield, lose it. And they were just comfortable doing that. And it is crazy to see in a quarter final. But the fact is, as Simeone said himself, City play one way and they play another. And going into that second leg at the Metropolitano, like, you don't really know how it's going to go, because that atmosphere might affect some of those City players. Maybe there'll be a red card. Maybe there'll be a mistake. And if anything like that happens and there's any encouragement for them, you know, they'll definitely take more of a front foot stance. But looking at the stats from today and looking at the game itself, it's crazy. Like, it's not going to bring many fans on board. But the fact is, they're still in the game, whether we like the performance or we don't.
I found the thing embarrassing, to be honest with you. I'm sorry. I expect a team to play like that, who are complete and utter total underdogs, not in the same league, lower division, however you want to put it. That's what I expect from a team like that. I don't expect a team in the quarter-finals of the Champions League with a manager who's getting paid 20 million and who spent half a billion on his team to play like that. I am sorry, that is embarrassing. There is nowhere else in the world that a manager would get away playing like that, getting paid 20 million, except for Atletico Madrid. And for some reason, everybody thinks this is special. And for so many years, they never won a game and they never won a title and blah, blah, blah. Well, I get that. And I understand you've got to do what you've got to do. But spare me. The manager's on 20 million, you spend half a billion on a team, and you go and produce that and play like that. I'm sorry. That's a joke.
Is there not an argument to say, though, if you tried to play football against Manchester City, you'd have lost this tie 4 or 5 nil, and because of the manner in which you set the team up and because they got the result, they're still in this tie going into the second leg?
Listen, from a defensive point of view, OK, I'll do the usual. All the credit in the world. You know, you go and you defend and you do what you've got to do. But as I said, that does not excuse what this team should be doing. I'm sorry, I don't care. I'm trying very hard not to give them any compliments at all because they don't deserve it. They're completely and utterly anti-football.
Right, but were you surprised that this is the way they play?
No.
This is what we all expected coming into the match.
Yep.
And in principle, I can see what Simeone is trying to do, and defensively, this is a team that has had difficulties this season, and so therefore, you know what? We are not going to take any chances away from home. We are not going to take any chances against a team like Manchester City, so I understand the conservative approach. The thing that was disappointing to me is not that they were defending in two lines of five. The real disappointment for me is the fact that Atletico Madrid, whenever they did recover the ball, they renounced to any possibility of actually keeping the ball and going in the attack whenever there was an opportunity to do so. It wasn't until about the 25th minute in the first half when they actually possessed the ball for more than 3 or 4 passes. Now, Atletico Madrid is better than that and has proven to be better than that, certainly what we see week in and week out in La Liga, that they can possess the ball, that they can take chances going forward. So I'm all for them being defensive if they want to, and that's a way that they're going to keep things tight. Okay, no problem. But once you get the ball, then be a threat. Do something. See if you can threaten Manchester City, because we have seen Manchester City be vulnerable in the back line and in transition when you win the ball in areas and when you can go and counter. But when you just renounce to any sort of possibility and you only have one guy ahead of the ball and you're saying, all right, you do whatever you can with that, and maybe that allows us to get our lines forward and that's about it, that's all we're going to do. That's the part that I think is disappointing, because that's the part in which you're saying, you know what, we really don't care about the attacking half. We only care about what we do here. And it doesn't matter that we're talented enough to go in the attack. It's not for us today. We're just going to sit here and wait for them.
So you've set yourself up not to win is what you've done.
Or not to lose.
Well, the problem is we know they're going to do that at home as well. So they're going to set up not to win again. What kind of quarterfinals of Champions League is that? You can't... There's one thing to get a defensive line, but it can't be inside your own box. Because when you do win the ball, and to what Ali's talking about, when they did get the ball, they had 75 yards to go before they could get near the goal. That's setting yourself up to lose, in my opinion.
Craig, you mentioned the frustration kind of started to show, didn't it, for City up against this kind of bank of five two times over, yet Phil Foden coming on really made the difference.
Oh, he did, yeah. And look, none of the shouts for penalties were penalties. I don't think there'll be too much debate about that. There was a few going to grounds under soft challenges, but I don't think there was any real shouts for penalties. Yeah, he made a huge difference, just his poise and the areas that he got into, and obviously that ball, not sure what Lonnie was doing, I think it was with the challenge. But yeah, just made a big difference. Obviously, you know, with no Walker on the side, Cancelo, you know, moving across, you know, natural left back there. Okay, Ake defensively, big and strong, physical. You're not going to get as much if anything down that left hand side. So that kind of negates that. Sterling was on his own kind of in that side for long periods. But it just seems to me, guys, that Simeone's a frightened coach. Yeah, he's been a successful coach to an extent with what he's done, and he has had achievements. But as Stevie said, with what he's spent, he's still a frightened coach. He's frightened to fully utilise what he's got. He's frightened. And I'm not just talking about against Man City. We've seen it covering La Liga against... And OK, maybe this season's a bit of a one-off because they haven't been at the best. But they've looked frightened against some of the mid to lower table teams in La Liga. And it's frustrating. So it's not just a play against Bayern or a play against City or you know, playing against Barcelona, whatever it is, it's fundamental in the way he approaches the games. And there isn't, you know, just one way to skin a cat or get a result. But it is frustrating. And the only way that you can brush it aside is with success. And to be successful every season is really difficult. And so it sometimes has to be painful for the Atleti fans because they can't have that success every season, but yet they still have to watch that football every season. Okay, at times it might have got a bit better, but boy, you know, when you're playing a counter-attacking game, you got to at least try and counter-attack. I mean, to offer something, particularly when you get people like Griezmann and João Felix. So that was frustrating, but it's not dead. That's the scary thing. It's not dead, but yeah, he won't change his approach for the second leg, and City have to be as mindful as they have, you know, as all the recent years and the recent history, Dan, when they've been knocked out. And we thought, oh, this is it. City are going to do it. They're in control. I think that's going to be a big warning to them again that they have to get the basics absolutely spot on.
Nadim, everyone agrees that they weren't surprised with the way that Atleti set up. So why did Pep not start someone like Phil Foden from the get-go when you know that he has got that ability to unlock a deep defence?
Do you know, I think that is a good question. Maybe in this instance, the timing of him coming on, the impact that he wanted to have, the game was in maybe in a different spot, because there's no guarantee that if he started, he would have had the same impact. Because, you know, Atletico, for as negative as they were overall, I think they were more negative in the first half, in my opinion. So maybe some of those opportunities that he had in that second half, maybe they wouldn't have been there. But I think the poise that he has, the sort of turn of pace that he has, and the directness that he has, you know, it's definitely going to be a big strength for City between now and the end of the season. It was a shame that, you know, he didn't play. But then you look at it, he played on the same side as Mahrez this time. And Mahrez is a top scorer for the football club. So at this stage, you know, somebody whoever misses out on a week-to-week basis is, you know, tends to be a big-time player. But, yeah, I think it was good to see him come on and make a difference. That's what you want from those players. And he did provide a lot of energy. But I think going into the second game, if he does start, I doubt he'll have the same sort of impact, because they'll probably try and get to him the same way that, say, when Grealish came on, one or two people started leaving their mark on him just to remind him of the fact that he's in a game. And as Craig is alluding to, like, the second leg, for as crazy as it is, as crazy as this game was, it's not nothing set in stone. And this is what I really don't understand. Like, I'd love Ali to explain this one to me, because he watches more La Liga. Like, I look at the table and Atletico are second top scorers in La Liga, but then we've seen a performance like today where they don't have a single shot. And I think over here in the UK, the perception is that this is who they are, but surely this can't be who they are, because back domestically, they are actually scoring some goals. That's what, you know, I can't put it together.
Well, the truth is that Atletico Madrid this season in La Liga have not been what we saw today. They, in the early part of the season particularly, were very willing to go in a back and forth with teams. And they were scoring goals, but guess what? Other teams were scoring goals as well. And it wasn't up until they hit rock bottom in losing to Levante, who are destined to relegation, that they said, you know what, forget it. And by they, I mean Diego Simeone said, nah, this back and forth is not going to work anymore. We are going to have to go back to the things that I trust, to the things that I believe in. And in his heart and his soul, everything about Diego Simeone is, we're going to fight here, and whatever happens in the attacking half, that's a plus. That's a bonus. But the first thing that we're going to do is we're going to fight here in the defensive half. And this is what they've been doing over the last month. And guess what? Up until today, they had won 6 matches in a row. So while you may want to point the finger at Atletico Madrid, and rightfully so in some of the negative attitude that they showed today, for them, it yields results. And it has yielded results in the past. And it is difficult for a manager to then say, I'm going to trust the unknown of us being an open team, an attacking team, where that has not given me the results that I want. And he goes back to what he believes in, and he will continue to do this for as long as he is the manager of Atletico Madrid.
What percentage?
But just off the back of that, they can be an exciting side to watch. That's the thing. And we have seen it in La Liga this year. But generally we've seen it, well, certainly on 2 or 3 occasions, and one of them, I think the game was Valencia, the other one might have been Villarreal. It's almost in desperation. Certainly there was 2 games in a row that were 2-0 down at half-time or around half-time. And he had to make a swathe of substitutions, and all of a sudden they got their chest out, and they came back, won the game, scored 3 goals. It was all last minute stuff. It was exciting. The crowd were great, and it was like, wow, this is. But again, it seems to take something for them to kickstart. They generally have this frightened, negative approach, and it takes a team going a goal or two up. It takes a crowd getting on the back. It takes a bad performance for them to make those substitutions. We saw it again tonight. The substitutions were the most positive part of the whole game plan, certainly when Correa and Cunha and Rodrigo de Paul come on. But it almost takes adversity for him to make decisions. And I suppose he's never going to change. He's not going to be a front foot manager. He's going to sit in. He's going to be as horrible as you like until such times he needs to make a change or do something different, and then he will. This leper ain't changing his spots, certainly not now.
Right then, Craig, percentage chance that Atleti go through to the semi-finals?
About the same amount of chance as somebody goes out and buys those glasses you're wearing. Slim.
And that thing behind you purchased voluntarily?
No, that thing behind me, I'm in a cubby hole upstairs in my house. I've moved from the basement. I'm surprised you can see them with those false glasses on. Blame the wife. Don't know what it is.
Nathan, percentage chance
of them getting through? I don't know. I think if the crowd get right behind them and maybe they get an early goal, it's a tough game. But if City get the first goal, chances are going to be very, very low, in my opinion.
Well, that's not a number. Someone give me a number.
20%.
20% is quite high.
Mm. Well, 80-20. I think it's still an 80-20 game for me until City put it to bed.
Wow. Nathan, higher or lower?
I'm going to say 21%.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
I should do it.
Stephen.
I'll go 20% as well.
Do you really think so? That big a chance?
Well, it's only one goal. Anything can happen.
They didn't have a shot on target in this game. They didn't have a shot in this game.
They got absolutely annihilated by Liverpool a couple of years ago, twice in a row, and somehow got through. So, it's possible.
You really don't like Atletico Madrid, do you?
I can't stand Atletico Madrid.
By the way, I don't know how you pair can sit there next to that cartoon character.
Ali, where are you going?
Which one? Which one?
90-10.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fighter's chance for Atletico Madrid, but that's about it.
It's a big week, of course, a big couple of weeks for Manchester City. Of course, Liverpool in the Premier League, and then that return leg against Atleti, followed by the FA Cup semi-final, which is live here on ESPN Plus, Saturday, April 16th, 10 a.m. Eastern.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Elsewhere today, Liverpool with a comfortable 3-1 victory over Benfica in Portugal. Konate would open the scoring, Mane and then Diaz late on getting 3. Nunes would score to give Benfica pretty much, it's just a consolation goal. Overall, Steve, it's kind of perfect, isn't it, this result for Liverpool?
Yeah, I mean, I was expecting a result like this. I figured Liverpool would have too much for Benfica, and they did. I mean, they could have been 3 or 4 up at half-time. They did, however, get a little sloppy in the second half. It got back to 2-1, and Alisson had to make a one-on-one save as well. But as I said, that was only because Liverpool got sloppy. They got their act in gear again and got a third and probably should have had more. So, yeah, not a surprise winning 3-1 away from home.
Frank LaBeouf texted me saying he thought that it was a penalty to Benfica, the challenge from Van Dijk.
No, it wasn't.
Frank says it was.
Well, must be a penalty.
Overall, there's something almost machine-like about Liverpool at the moment. No matter what personnel is out on the field, they go out there and they get it done.
Yeah, and I'm going to single out Luis Diaz just because of a player who has come into Liverpool. And you always hear people out there talking about transfers and how they need some time to get used to their surroundings. Not if you're a good enough player. And Luis Diaz is that and more for Liverpool. He looks so dangerous over the left-hand side. When he tucks inside, he combines everybody else. He's able to get in behind with his speed. He can create for himself, create for others, and has been doing that since the moment he showed up at Liverpool. And he gives them something different in the attack, another option, another variety of option. Like, Liverpool need any more variety in the attack. They have, and you just mentioned, the personnel that you just put out there, it just seems to work. Well, Luis Diaz is a good example of that. You put him out there, and you know he's going to produce for you, and he did that today.
It's tough to really talk too much else about this game, because it pretty much went as we expected, isn't it?
Yeah, as I said, just for that little spell where... Listen, I don't care how good a team you are and how strong you are mentally. Everybody, at some stage, when they're very, very comfortable in a game, can just lose concentration a little. So it happens. But listen, if you can do that and then bounce back and put another one away, then it tells you how good you really are.
It could have gotten interesting when Alisson tried to do the little dribbling, a little something, try to get a little fancy. He got a little fortunate. At that point, it was 2-1, may have been 2-2. But in the end, Liverpool is just too much for Benfica.
How much of an advantage does this give Liverpool going into the game against Manchester City this weekend? Given that they didn't have to put in the same effort that City did in their victory against Atletico.
It absolutely makes a difference. Yes, the game is not till Sunday, so you can argue that City will get a good rest. But there's no question, both physically and mentally, Liverpool's game against Benfica was so much easier. And that does matter. So if it's a ding-dong battle, if this is like up and at them, which... you have to think it's going to be, because neither side plays any other way than on the front foot, then definitely physically will come into it. And when you get physically tired, then you get mentally tired as well.
So, right.
Yeah, it does make a difference.
And you just look at the substitutions today. Because of how the game was going, Jurgen Klopp could then bring Mohamed Salah off the field. You say, yeah, come in. Yeah. Oh, you're tired? Come on down here.
Right.
You can make those substitutions and those changes because you're comfortable in the way you're playing, and you can put players out there in Diogo Jota and others that can do the job and can certainly produce for you. Whereas Manchester City did not quite have the same against Atletico Madrid. It was a far more stressful game, far more draining match, and you have to imagine that in the end that makes a difference. Now, does that mean that Liverpool wins the game against Manchester City? Well, not necessarily, but certainly going into the game, you have to give the advantage physically and mentally to Liverpool.
What a weekend it's going to be. Of course, still more Champions League action to come. Bayern Munich against Villarreal on Wednesday. No surprise, Bayern Munich favourites to advance to the semi-finals. 12-1 on, in fact, to make it through to the final four. Villarreal at 7-1. Well, Nadim's back with us for extra time. You can always check that out over on our website. Yesterday, Stevie introduced us to the concept of the Invisible Nine.
Oh, who would that be? Can't see him.
That's why he's invisible.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
It's arguably the standout ties near these quarterfinals in the Champions League. Chelsea against Real Madrid face off on Wednesday. Chelsea 5-4 on to make it through to the semi-final. Real Madrid at evens. Things, of course, have changed quite dramatically over the last couple of weeks. Chelsea thrashed at home in the Premier League against Brentford. Real Madrid with that win against Celta Vigo. They were poor, though, in that victory. Craig, overall, it's difficult to call this game, isn't it?
It is when you haven't seen any football for a month.
Yeah, well, indeed.
Literally nothing. So, I did see on my return, I did see the so-called champions of the world, Chelsea, getting battered by Brentford, as you mentioned, at the weekend. Defensively horrible. I mean, just horrible the way Brentford took them apart. So you got to think that, you know, and I didn't see the Clásico, but I hear it did not go well. you got to feel, though, that Real Madrid going forward could take advantage of that. I'm surprised at those odds, even though, as you said, Real Madrid haven't been playing well recently, but boy, that was an eye-opener at the weekend for Chelsea with that second half against Brentford, where they just got opened up. So I'm not quite with the bookies on this occasion, and I still think Real Madrid are favourites in this game, but as you said, they haven't been brilliant of late.
Nathan, what's wrong with Chelsea at the back, given they were so solid at the start of the season? What's changed?
Do you know what? I'm not too sure, because looking at the back line there, you've seen Rudiger, who's done well this season. You've seen Thiago Silva, who's done well this season. Other people come in and being a part of that. And then no one's being solid. So to concede four at home and to concede four at home to Brentford, who aren't exactly like pulling trees in the Premier League at this season, it does seem very, very strange. But, you know, for Chelsea, they do need to sort of align themselves better, because this is going to be a very tough tie when you're seeing someone like Benzema around and a team that historically do so well in the competition. You have to be at your absolute best. But I suppose for me, the positive is for Chelsea, for as good a side as they are, it's very rare that you find two bad performances back to back. I think they'll look at the footage from the weekend, they'll react to it and understand that this is a far different tie now. And as a consequence, they need to be at their absolute best. And, you know, whether they're in bad form or not, I think they're going to be wearing a gold badge on their sleeve, because they are reigning champions. So they have found a way to do this before. And going into this game, I think they're going to have to be at their very best, because Real Madrid, I'm sure, will have something to say about it.
Is this going to be a good game, or is this going to be about two teams trying not to make mistakes?
No, I think it'll be a good game. I think both sides will actually try and win this game. Because I don't think Real Madrid can go to Chelsea and think they can just sit tight and try and break on them. I think they have to go and try and play. Because, of course, they tried that at PSG.
Yeah, and they got through.
Well, they were lucky, because, let's be honest, had they lost 3 or 4-0, we wouldn't really have complained. So I don't see how they can go and try and do that again. At the same time, Chelsea's not losing 4 goals again. Listen, before that, they had lost 19 goals in 29 Premier League games. That's like nearly half a goal a game. So that was just out of the ordinary against Brentford. So I think Chelsea are just slightly favourites in this.
You gotta love some numbers and mathematics there as well, all included.
I'm all about stats.
Hey, you know things have changed.
You know that.
Look, I was expecting from Real Madrid, after the humiliation of El Clásico and in the manner in which it happened, that coming off the international break against Celta de Vigo, we were going to see a much, much better version of the team that we saw, that were fortunate to win the game against Celta de Vigo, and who were broken apart by Celta de Vigo in the goal that they scored in that match. And then I thought, okay, well, let me watch Chelsea. And then they got broken apart. Yeah. They got destroyed as well. Easily destroyed. And it's not only the back line, but it's also the defending that is happening in front of that back line. So there are reasons to believe that both of these teams are in trouble, that are vulnerable going into this game. The key for Real Madrid, as it always is, for as long as they have been successful, that midfield three has to control the pace with which this game is played. If they do that, then they're going to have the possession in good areas, and then they're going to get Benzema involved, and then they're going to get Vinicius involved, and then they become a far more dangerous team. If they don't, if they look unathletic at times, as they did in the first leg against PSG, then they're going to be chasing. And when they chase, Real Madrid is not a team that can defend very well. For them, it's all about that midfield three, and can they control the game?
If you go down for
Real Madrid, just...
La Liga, of course, continues then this weekend. Real Madrid looking to go one step closer to winning La Liga title. For Sevilla, they kick things off on Friday as they take on Granada, looking to close the gap at the top of the table. For Real Madrid, it's about Getafe on Saturday. Barcelona, meanwhile, in action away against Levante on Sunday.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's electricebikes.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And that's it. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much for watching. We'll be back tomorrow for more. But be sure to stay tuned as Extra Time is next. Nadim is with us. We talk horror movies and Ali's miserable 2 years at Chivas USA. Stay with us. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you, as always, for your tweets. Ali Moreno is with us, as is Stevie Nicol. Nadim Anua also with his Manchester City ways. A bit nervous after that 1-0 win. What sort of viewer are you like, Nadim, watching the game? Because Stevie, when he's watching Liverpool,
expletives, yeah?
Yeah, a lot of them.
Just every other word is an expletive, pretty much. And he's angry at everything everybody does.
Yes. Yeah, I get angry.
Yeah.
Very angry.
Yeah.
Easily.
I watch every game in like a calm manner, but for the City ones, when something good happens, I do have a little celebration in me. And when something bad happens, I do get frustrated, which is why I don't love watching them. But overall, like, I'm just trying to take it all in, basically.
Are you a kind of punch the air when they score?
Oh.
Like, smash things up when they lose?
Nah, I don't want to reveal too much, but I've been known to do one or two things, yeah.
Stevie, how are you?
All right.
Konate scored today, but got absolutely skinned a couple of times and was directly responsible for Benfica's goal. Should he drop down the pecking order in Liverpool's back four?
Well, actually, I think if Klopp's got everybody 100% fit, I don't think Konate starts. I think Matip starts.
Right.
So he's actually down the pecking order as it is. And you probably saw why. As good as he can be, sometimes he can do something really stupid like he did today. I mean, that's just a whiff on the ball. That's not acceptable in the quarterfinals of the Champions League.
That's not acceptable on Sunday morning kick around with your friends.
That's also true.
Nadim, who do you think is better and has the higher potential? Foden or Pedri?
Do you know what? I never thought I'd be speaking about like a young boy from Manchester who's being spoken about in such a manner, who's got sort of similar sort of skill sets. I think the two are very different. I think Phil Foden as a forward player, like the way he is for Man City, like people are really, really excited about him. But it's also the same for Pedri at Barca. But for me, like, I love Pedri, but let my Manchester City bias kick in. I'm going to obviously say Phil Foden.
You okay, Ali, with that?
Well, I'm not okay with it. No, I would take Pedri all day. He's only 19 and doing some special things. But I was asking today the question as to why are you not starting Phil Foden, because of how different he can be in those moments where he can give you something special that I don't think some of the other players in Manchester City can give you.
It's difficult when you're an invisible nine to make that impact, though.
Yeah.
Who said that?
I had a question. You said expletive. I thought it was expletives.
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 Hmm? Yeah.
Oh, are you sure?
Yeah. Yes.
Well, not in this country.
No?
I don't
How
think
How do you
so.
Say it?
Expletives.
Expletives?
Yes.
Oh. There we are.
And in this country, I'm pretty sure that's
right.
Okay.
We know we the Queen's English, we would have expletives.
Oh, well, that's another one I learned, you know.
One would swear.
I'm sorry. That's not what they taught me here. My bad.
Nadim's an educated man.
What makes you think that?
I'll get back to you.
Yeah. I'm sure it's not temperament.
Are we going expletives or expletives?
Oh, yeah, classic, yeah. If I was in the UK, I'd say expletive, but over there is expletive, yeah. Sorry about that.
Oh, there you are.
Well, there you go. But it's not temperament. We know that.
So what would you say in Scotland?
Well, you would just say the swear words. Hey. I wouldn't mess around.
There'd be a word before expletives, right?
For Stevie, what are your thoughts on Paul Tierney being chosen for the City versus Liverpool game? Is that the referee? Must be the referee.
Yes, the referee.
Has he got history? Is there a reason?
I've got absolutely no thoughts on it at all. What's wrong with him?
He's the VAR.
What's wrong with him?
They're two Manchester people, apparently.
No. No.
Anthony Taylor and Paul Tierney.
No.
No.
I have no problem with that whatsoever.
Ah, it's conspiracy, so.
Oh.
Yeah, no, not a chance. I would suggest, right?
Oh, here we go.
They're more likely to go the other way. Because they're from Manchester.
Oh, really? To prove a point?
To prove a point.
I know.
The old double bluff.
I know.
The old double,
my dad was my teacher, and he'd be heavier on me than anyone else in the class.
Oh, well, I
there
can't.
You go.
There you are. You say to prove a point, there was no favouritism.
And how good of a student were you, Dan?
Very good.
Oh.
Yeah, hence the glasses. Yeah.
You dropped out of college, didn't you?
I didn't drop out of college.
What?
No.
No, all right.
No. Wow. I got my degree.
Did you?
Yes.
Why did I think you dropped?
I don't know. I had a baby at college, but that's another story.
Well, okay. All right.
For Ali.
The Manchester City fan, is he not?
He is a big Manchester City fan, yeah. For Ali, rank these three in terms of ball control and dribbling.
Okay, where are the three?
Ronaldinho. Messi, Neymar.
Ball control and dribbling.
This is the, yeah?
That's
the
it.
Criteria that's been given.
That's it.
Yes.
Ronaldinho, number one.
Yep.
Ball control and dribbling, huh? I can't do it. Messi, then Neymar.
Oh, I'm surprised it gave you that much...
Well, because if it's ball control and dribbling, Neymar is special. But I'm going to say Messi, then Neymar. Ronaldinho, number one, at ball control and dribbling alone.
Ali, Nadim, if you could stop any transfer from your playing days, your own or somebody else's, who would it be?
Oh, my God.
Oh, is it for me?
Oh, no. I think I could answer you, maybe.
Well, go ahead. Yes.
Chivas USA?
Chivas USA.
Chivas USA.
People might not know what Chivas USA, what it is.
Oh.
Well, what it was. It no longer exists. And it was at one point an expansion team in Major League Soccer that was intended to be catering towards the Latino community or Mexican-American community in Los Angeles.
Right.
That didn't work out because it ended becoming sort of a minor league team, if you will, sort of a feeder system to, or a fake Chivas, because it was an extension of Chivas Guadalajara.
Invisible.
Yeah. Yes. A fake Chivas.
How long were you there for?
I was there for two very long years. That.
How was your mood? Because you can be quite temperamental at the best of times.
Well, let's just say that I chose to retire rather than continue to play for Chivas USA. Yes.
Wow.
Yes. I was not going to do that anymore. Didn't want to put my family through that. It was a difficult time. It's actually a time that I don't speak about until you bring it up, Dan. So it's all your fault, really.
Nadim, what wounds can I pick of yours?
Okay, here's some wounds for you. I think any one of the about five centre-backs that were brought in to replace me at Man City across a two-year stretch, how about any of those? That'll probably help. Yeah, thanks. Let's cancel all those ones, yeah.
Nadim, what's that like?
Honestly, like, at this point, I was in the side, and then all of a sudden, you've seen the players that the clubs are linked with, and you're like, well, they're all defenders. So you're thinking, are they going to spend 20, 30 million pounds on a player and then they're going to come in and not play? Doesn't look too good for me, this. But yeah, at the end of the day, once they arrive, you're still competing for a spot, and I always ended up playing until that final year with Mancini. So I guess in some ways it just makes you try harder because you just have to work harder to be in your position.
You couldn't have enjoyed going to QPR, Nathan.
Oh.
That must have been tough.
I was there for 6.5 years. Played over 200 games. There were some highs, but there were some really low lows. But the fact is, I think when you look at some people who never get the chance to play for even a single year, looking back, you know, I appreciate that. I won at Wembley in the playoff final, won some big games and stuff like that. It wasn't where in the championship where I wanted to end up, but the fact is I still got the chance to play as a professional. So I look back quite fondly of it overall.
Can I give you a little insight into my transition to Chivas USA?
I don't know, Ali, if we need to continue talking about this. No, I'm worried because we're taking you to a dark place.
Well, I'm already in a dark place, Dan. Thank you very much. It was an expansion draft. And so I was left unprotected by, I think at the time, was the Philadelphia Union.
Right.
And so who was going to be the manager for Portland Timbers, that was the expansion team that was coming in, and okay. Vancouver was coming in also as an expansion team.
Right.
The manager at that time, John Spencer, had reached out to me and said, hey, do you want to come to Portland?
Okay.
And I said, no, because I didn't want to move the family from Philadelphia. I just didn't want to be selected in the expansion draft. I just wanted to be left alone in Philadelphia. I said no to going to Portland, and we know what Portland then became, okay? Yes. And then Vancouver selects me with no intention of having me play for them. It was just to trade me to
Chivas. You were just a pawn.
I was just a pawn. Wow. Used to then to get allocation money for Vancouver, and I then went to Chivas USA.
How many expletives?
Well, there were expletives, temperament, and temperament all over the place. Yep. That was a happy time.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Thank you, Dan.
It wasn't me, the question.
No, it was you, Dan. It was you.
It wasn't me.
You and your glasses, Dan.
Stevie, what's your favorite classic horror monster movie? Ooh. When I think of you, I don't think a horror monster movie.
I don't.
Dracula, the Wolfman, Frankenstein, or the Invisible Knight?
I mean, honestly.
Very good, very good.
Yeah. I do not watch them. My grandson asked me to watch one last week. I was like, no chance.
No.
So, as a kid, when The Exorcist came out.
Ooh. Say again?
The Exorcist.
Right.
I think I was about 15 at the time. And it was on at the local hall. We used to go to the hall and play snooker and badminton and all kinds, and they were putting The Exorcist on.
Right.
So for some reason, I went, and I had to walk home on my own after it. And I had to walk past the cemetery as well.
Oh.
I tell you what, I've never been so scared in all my life. And ever since then, I'll just not watch any horror movie.
No, I'd never even seen The Exorcist. It doesn't.
No,
it's scary.
No.
I don't want to be scared.
I like scary movies.
Do you? That's why you went to Chivas.
Yes. Yes. Correct. Yes. I wanted to see the gore.
Do you, Ali?
I do.
Really?
I do. I like the excitement, yes.
So, what do you think of The Invisible Nine?
Oh, that would be scary. Really scary.
What's your classic go-to horror movie, then?
Well, not a classic one, but I do like me some Paranormal Activity. I'll watch that.
Really?
I've watched the whole series of those. Yep.
Paranorman. Have you seen Paranorman?
No.
It's a kids' movie.
It's a scary one. I watched that.
What? Come on.
I don't know, what's it, Paranorman?
No.
I recommend it.
Nathan, where do you stand on horror movies?
Yeah, not for me. I don't like the idea of pain to be petrified and then to sort of go through things like Stevie went through, where you're just looking at the world in a different manner. So I tend to go for comedies and action and things like that. It's just a bit more fun.
Ooh. The Exorcism of Emily Rose, that's a good one too. Yep, that's a good one.
No, it doesn't appeal. No.
That's a good one.
No.
She gets possessed. She's like, sex, 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 sex. I was like, oh, good. Yeah, uh-huh.
Does Melissa like them as well?
No, of course not.
So you just sit on your own and watch them?
Well, no. Well, I have to be by myself when I watch them because nobody will watch them with me.
I'd have sworn you asked if you sit and watch them on your own, and you said no.
No, I said I'm on my own. No, I said, does Melissa watch them with him?
You know, oh, I beg your pardon.
No, yeah, I can't. I try to convince a family at times, like, oh, let's watch a scary movie, and everybody just shuts me down.
But no.
That's all right. I love my family anyway.
Well, there we go.
I don't know how much I feel how they feel about me, but I do love them.
That is it. We are done. Thank you very much. My contact lens has arrived tomorrow.
Hey!
Thank goodness for that.
Hallelujah.
I'll send you my glasses, Nathan. We'll be back tomorrow, of course, to reflect on Chelsea against Real Madrid.